This is Astrodim. Welcome to my ASMR episode.
You guys like my ASMR voice? Would y'all be down for me to do that? Like, listen, I think I'm going to do some lives where I'm going to do ASMR for real. Because, like, everyone always compliments my voice. I need to do something about it. I think I'm going to do voiceovers again, too. I used to do them over Fiverr. Over on Fiverr, so I might have that out too. I love doing voiceover. I thought it was like a lot of fun. So yeah, bitches. Hey, a bitch is back. Hi y'all, how y'all doing today? Welcome to my bed in astrology. This is Astrodim here. I know it's been a while. I'm sorry. But a bitch been busy. Listen, I've been going through it and going through a huge transformation within my career and how I want to go about astrodim.space, astrodim experience, all of that. So you know, I just want to let you guys know before I start with this episode, right, a couple of things. Number one, you know, I'm gonna step away from full readings, okay? Honestly, with how my astrological energy is set up, this shit's exhausting, okay? It's tiring as fuck. It's getting to a point in which I love astrology. There's nothing that's going to make me stop loving astrology, but I wasn't enjoying it enough. You know, my south node is in the eighth house, right? And if you've been a follower of mine, you know that I connect, you know, as well as other astrologers connect the eighth house with like divination and stuff. And so, you know, a lot of my past life energy and energy that I've mastered from the past life, it's connected to me, you know, being intimate with folks in many different ways, right? Because the eighth house is connected to like intimacy and includes energetic intimacy, such as occult and divination. I already know, in a deep intuitive way and through readings, that it's not my first go around being a healer. Okay. So, I'm always healing others, in exchange for something else, but I need to kind of heal myself just cause, that is why my north node is, you know, in the second house in Pisces. And I need to go help others too, you know, with that Pisces placement. But it's more so like about me building my own self-worth. And so I'm stepping away from that aspect. Full readings is exhausting for a reason. If things start to get exhausting like that energetically, then, you know, that's a little sign. However, I am doing mini readings. I'm noticing that mini readings are easier for me to work through. I'm a force with a time limit with the company I work for. I work with Hey Hero, so shout out to Hey Hero. If you're interested in a mini reading, definitely go over to the link in my bio. I have a direct link to Hey Hero and all the offerings that I have there. But yeah, like, I'm with Hey Hero. I do mini readings there. So you can hit me up there for like a mini read. But you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I'm not only offering astrology readings there. Of course, I'm, you know, offering tarot as well. And what's extra cool is that I'm a Reiki master now. So I'm offering Reiki healings too. So just saying. I think the only full type of service that I will provide is definitely, you know, Reiki. That's probably it. I'm not gonna really do the readings anymore, both tarot, full readings at least, both tarot and astrology. I'm just gonna stick with the mini ones, and I want to really focus on teaching. Teaching is fun to me. I love helping others. I love teaching others. I love guiding others. It's so much fun. Like, even with my posts that I've done throughout the years on social media, especially Twitter, when I used to be on Twitter heavy, it was all me teaching. You know what I mean? All me teaching, 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 teaching. So I was like, man, let me just do something with that. So with that being said, I just released this Saturday the Relocation 101 class. Relocation Astrology 101. Oh my God, I'm so fucking excited about that, y'all. If you know me, you know I've been talking about relocation astrology for years. I was one of the first people that I'm aware of, at least, that was doing mini readings on them back in the day. And I loved how everyone liked them. And, you know, it was one of them, you know, I was one of the people that was offering them. That's like, I mean, not one of the only people for sure. Like, people been doing that shit for a while. But I mean, like, when it comes to like the younger folks, a lot of younger folks weren't doing it like that. But I'm glad people started opening up to it. Shit, I'm not even really like young like that. I'm in my 30s, but whatever, you know what I'm saying. I am young, right? But you know what I'm trying to say. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. People were kind of ignoring relocation astrology for a bit, unless they were like, you know, more seniored in the game. So I was glad to bring that up to like the world, you know what I mean? But anywho, I'm gonna be teaching the kids, y'all. Okay, I'm really excited. This is like one of my favorite parts of astrology. My favorite sectors of astrology, relocation astrology 101, is available. It is $323 for the course. And I know this is like, wow, that's an investment. But first of all, y'all know astrology courses be more expensive than that, okay? So don't even try me, okay? That's number one. Number two, I'm like breaking it the fuck down and getting you prepared to be like not only knowing how to read yourself and others, but honestly, if you're interested, you know, like having it as like a offering, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just something to think about. But also, number three is I am gonna be very available. I'm going to have a weekly office hours on Sundays, right? And then people can hit me up and email me anytime and I'll get back to them with questions. I'm just available. I have a Discord. Everything is lit. So, like, y'all going to have full access to ask me questions literally any as long as this course is available, and I expect it to be available for years to come. So, this is really cool. So, even if you, like, buy it now, right? And then like 10 years later, you decide to finally take it. And then like, you ask me a question, I'm going to be there. That's what I'm hoping, at least. that's what I'm going for. All right. But yeah, we have payment plans for, you know, the people who can't just give up $323 all at once. I understand. It's basically $82.70 a month for 4 months. Okay. That's how we're gonna go about doing it. And it's a good investment. It's a good investment. I'm always gonna be there. I'm always going to assist and help during the process. Okay, so shit, Jackson 5, I'll be there. I'm just saying, link in the bio, check it out. Okay, it's one of my favorite portions of astrology. I love relocation astrology so much. Okay, so yes, consider it. I got a number of students now really excited. It's so cool. Oh, also, just to let y'all know, with the relocation astrology course, this is for like people who have intermediate and advanced knowledges of astrology. This might not be for the beginner babies, because like there's certain things that I'm just not gonna go over. Like, I'm not gonna teach y'all what an aspect is, not gonna teach y'all what planets and houses mean. I expect y'all to have that knowledge, like the basic knowledge of astrology, you know what I mean? Like how to read aspects, what the house means, what the planet means, you know what I mean? What, you know, what a sign means, how to bring it up, bridge it all together and read a placement. Like, I expect y'all to know that, okay? And what's another cool thing too is that, you know, it's relocation astrology 101. So I'm going to have a 201 where I get real deep into relocation astrology and talk about other aspects that a lot of other astrologers don't talk about. The only other astrologer I see talking about it is probably David Crocken and Ralph McIntyre. Shout out to them. But I'm going to be talking about that and teaching y'all that. Like, y'all, listen. It's about to be fucking lit. And I'm going to do a 301. That's probably going to be more of like a practice course, where people just really focus on honing the craft and digging deeper and like honestly theorizing. You know what I mean? I'm going to give y'all a chance to theorize. But 201 and 301 is not available yet. Okay? So we're just going to focus on one-on-one. Let me get some graduates first. Okay? We'll move on from there. All right? I'm really excited about that. But yeah, so I'm going to be teaching more. And I'm actually, you know what? Let me know if you guys will be interested in this. I might even have like a survey up in the link in the bio. But, you know, I'm thinking about even doing a more extensive Black Moon Lilith class. I know I taught a class over in Imani's, shout out to Iman's, retreat, astrology retreat, right? But I'm thinking about expanding that course, expanding it to a course so we can really like learn. I'll talk about learn about it, right? And so y'all can practice it with me. I'm going to teach y'all a little bit more intensely. We're going to have like quizzes and homeworks and stuff like that. So if you're interested in something like that, I might be able to create that too. Okay. But that's my new spiel is teaching, mini readings, ASMR, doing lives and shit. I think I'm gonna go more on that route, okay? All right, so and then this podcast, of course. I'm trying to make more room for this podcast because I actually truly do love doing this podcast, but it's just hard when you continuously have readings to do all the damn time, right? And they like take a lot of your time. And if you got a reading, a full reading for me, then you know how I do. You know how I do. Like, I go in and the readings be like sometimes hours long. I be forcing it. But I'm not trying to leave y'all, you know, with just like a half an hour reading. You invested all this money into me reading your life and shit like that. You get what I'm saying? So, that shit's exhausting. And I don't want to put time limits on myself. So, yeah. I just do what I got to do. So, I'm glad I'm able to have more time for this podcast. Yes, yes. And, yeah. So, let me like leave this alone now. And let me go talk about the subject, which is Medusa. So, yeah. Let's, you know, this will be the first, like, you know, little part. And for the second part, I'm gonna get going with Medusa, okay? All right, what up, what up? So, what has inspired me to talk about Medusa? So, there's like two things, I guess, maybe three. All right, so let's talk about it. First thing is that, there was this like meme that was been like reposted of the different goddesses, and I was like, hey, which goddess do you guys think that I am? And a lot of people picked Medusa for me, which I was really surprised. Medusa, I think Hera. And then the interesting thing is that there was asteroids for each of the goddesses that they posted. So I was like, okay, guess what goddess you are, and then enter these asteroid numbers to see if these energies are actually connected to you. And it was interesting. A lot of people picked Hera for me too, and Hera actually is conjunct my ascendant as well, I think, or my sun, I forgot which one. So that was really interesting. And then yes, I thought that was cool. And then I end up doing a poll on Twitter, like, which goddess do you guys want me to talk about? Because my good friend King Cootie Beloved, check her products out. She's absolutely amazing. Like, seriously, she does, like, hoodoo products. They're, oh, so good. So, so good. Her oils are incredible. So definitely check them out. But you know, she gave me this beautiful deck, this goddess deck. It was amazing. And Medusa came up again. I was like, amongst other goddesses. And I asked people who I should talk about. A lot of people picked Medusa. And then I reminded me of this beautiful connection I have with Misha Farzaneh, who makes amazing jewelry. When I say amazing, y'all, her Medusa earrings. Fire, okay? Fire. I had to project my voice on that one because they're fire. like fire. By the way, link in bio, I got a 15% off code, or if you click on the link in the bio, specifically with the Misha Farzaneh like bubble, you'll get 15% off just off the rip, right? So check that out, you know what I'm saying? Because yo, I'm about to cop these Medusa earrings. I'm about to cop them Cleopatras. I am about to cop the whole line because they're lit, okay? Like, for real. But yeah, take a look at her Medusa earrings. They're fire. Anywho, that inspired me too. So let's go ahead and talk about Medusa. You know how I usually do, y'all. I like to talk about the myth, because the myth, you know, you can't interpret anything without knowing the myth. Like, where are you going, boo? Like, that's how I feel. Like, where are you going, boo? Like, you better freaking figure out what this myth means before, like, trying to make an interpretation. Like, what are you talking about? You know, I feel like a lot of people do that, or they, like, go talk about other people's interpretations, and it's just like it ain't hitting. So anyways, let me tell you a little bit about the myth, okay? All right. So Medusa, she's the child of two primordial sea deities, Phorcys and Seto. I might be pronouncing this all wrong. I don't know how to pronounce the Greek gods and goddesses. I always fuck it up, okay? So don't even make fun of me. She had two sisters who were Gorgons, which are half woman, half serpent, Uriel and Steno, but she looked completely human. So she was different from, like, when it came to like the other Gorgons and primordial, you know, sea deities. So Medusa loved Athena. Okay, when I say loved, like, that was her ultimate hero. You know how, like, the Gaga stans, the monsters, how they be with Lady Gaga? Or do you know how the Barbs are with Nicki? Or you know how the bees, you know, the beehive is with Beyonce? Or just Michael Jackson fans and Prince fans are with Michael Jackson and Prince? She was like that. Probably worse. Like, she adored Athena, okay? And she would pretend to be her sometimes too, which is really, really cute. But you know, she had a BFF, Aphiseles, I might be pronouncing that incorrectly too, don't make fun of me. And he ended up having a crush on her, which was really cute. She liked him too, but she wanted to be a priestess of Athena. So she couldn't be with him. She had to be a virgin, quote unquote, pure, right? Whatever that means, right? So she couldn't really be with him because she wanted to be a priestess of Athena that bad. But the thing is that, like, Medusa was one of the most beautiful people to ever walk on earth. Everyone always talked about how gorgeous she was, right? So this is key. This is very important to understand. She was insanely gorgeous. So she trained to be a priestess and was very good on, you know, with her studies. She was amazing. And she attracted a lot of people with her rituals to Athena because of her charm, her charisma, and her beauty. She was insanely beautiful. Speaking of beauty, she had bomb ass hair. Like, everyone talked about how dope her hair was. And one of the people she attracted in the ritual said her hair was more beautiful than Athena's, right? Mm-hmm. You know how these guys, you probably are figuring out how this story's gonna end if you don't know the myth already. Well, one of the people said that, like, while she was doing the ritual, said that her hair was more beautiful than Athena's. Okay. All right. Athena heard the commotion at one of her temples and decided to see, hey, what's going on? Like, why is there a lot of commotion going on here? Was it really good? You know, it was at my temple. I'm excited. Y'all talking about me? Y'all talking about me? Right? And she noticed that people weren't there to worship her. They were there to admire Medusa. And at that time, she knew it wasn't Medusa's fault. So she, like, left it alone. She was like, you know, Medusa is attractive. She's very charismatic and charming. she has the vibe of trying to do this for me. It's not her fault that other people are attracted to her. You know what I mean? Like, she's doing the right thing. I'm just going to let it be, right? Now, Poseidon was in the corner creeping, per use, right? As you, if you know Poseidon. And he was mad that Athena was able to, you know, rule Athens pretty much. Like, he wanted to have the connection with Athens. He was fighting for that. And was he was still mad that he lost that battle. And he noticed that Athena was focused on Medusa. So he planned to use Medusa to get back at Athena. So Medusa was walking by the sea one day, and Poseidon appeared to her, and he used his charm to seduce Medusa, but she declined. She was like, I don't care about, you know, you being fly and all and handsome. I gotta, like, be pure, be a virgin, all that, so I can be a priest of Athena. It was that important to her that she declined a god's, like, you know, persuasiveness, I guess. You know what I mean? So he grabbed her arm and she hit him in the face and ran. He went after her and she ran up to the Athena temple. Her BFF, Athicles, I always say his name incorrectly, stepped in to help Medusa because he saw what was happening. But he was no match, unfortunately, to Poseidon. And she ran to the temple and prayed for protection from Poseidon. She was really praying really, really hard for Athena to come through. And she didn't. And Poseidon ended up raping her at Athena's temple. Absolutely heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. Athena appeared, took human form from being a statue, and blamed Medusa for everything. Can you fucking imagine that? Like, this story infuriates me. Like, this is probably one of the saddest myths. Like, the Greek and Roman myths. It's one of the saddest ones. It's so fucked up. But let's continue. She blamed Medusa for everything. Even though Medusa literally tried her best, was literally praying for her to make him stop. She blamed her for everything. She said that she was being too flamboyant and too vain, and it caused this whole thing to happen off of her just being so flamboyant with it, right? And she punished her by making her ugly. Athena punished Medusa by making her ugly, making her a gorgon like the rest of her sisters, making her hair turn into snakes. Snakes, y'all. This is where the snake thing came from. And making it so that when people look at her, you know, they turned into stone. So sadly, her BFF, Athicles was the first victim, which broke her heart. Like, this was her homie. She really adored him. So he woke up from being beaten by Poseidon, tried to find Medusa because he's like, yo, I gotta find my friend. Like, I have to make sure she's good. And, you know, he was end up being turned to stone when he went to look for her and look at her. And it's just so sad. It's just really sad. So Medusa was like, oh my God, like, this is my BFF. She was horrified. So she ran away because she didn't want to hurt anybody else and turn anyone else to stone. She went into a region where no one lived and found ancient ruins and ended up living in the ancient ruins by herself. Every time warriors tried to defeat her, they ended up turning into stone. You know, basically, word got out that, like, oh, there's a woman that's turning people into stone out here. We need to kill her. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they were doing. And they extremely, like, villainized the hell out of her. And so warriors would come out, try to defeat her. She would turn them into stone, literally, like, by accident. But she ended up getting affected psychologically from this, you know? She did nothing wrong. It was attacked, like, continuously. She did nothing wrong initially, and she got attacked by her hero. She got attacked by another god, like, you know, for no reason, just because she was attractive and because he wanted to rule Athens. Like, she's literally doing nothing but serving the person that she adores. and she's literally getting punished for it and attacked. You know, first by Poseidon, then by Athena, then by these random warriors. And she ended up starting to hate humanity because she's like, I'm literally doing nothing wrong and I'm getting attacked. However, she ended up finding out that the ruins that she ended up staying at was one of the first temples for Athena, right? So Medusa decided to clean it up and continue her rituals there. Athena did not deserve that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is so like, the world did not deserve Medusa, okay? Anyways, let's continue. This story infuriates me. I'm gonna continue though. Athena ended up feeling bad for what she did. She's again being reminded, instead of being jealous, she's being reminded that like, yo, like Medusa really looked out for me and she's really loving me, and I'm being reminded by, look at her, she's doing the ritual, she didn't need to do that. So Athena ended up feeling really, really bad because what she did to Medusa was irreversible. So like no one could do really anything about it, right? So it's just really unfortunate. So here comes along Perseus, right? He came along to defeat Medusa. And he had Athena's shield. And it was interesting why he had Athena's shield. Like, Athena allowed him to have the shield. So there's, like, a lot of speculation with that. And we'll talk about that a little later. But he had Athena's shield. And it reflected so brightly. And it was very mirrored. So when he went to see Medusa, it shined so brightly that it caught Medusa off guard. And he beheaded her. And, you know, it was the end of that for Medusa. He as in Perseus, brought the shield and Medusa's head back to Athena. Medusa was actually pregnant with Poseidon's and her child. And her blood actually allowed him to live. His name was Cyrusaur. Something like that. Don't make fun of me. But he's the warrior of the golden sword, right? But she also was pregnant with Pegasus, purest of all creatures. And she was embodying the purity of Medusa that was stolen, right? Interesting. It is said that Athena gave the shield to Perseus so Medusa could look at it, be stunned, and get Medusa out of her misery, right? So that's the speculation, that Athena felt so bad, she couldn't reverse anything. So she's like, okay, if, you know, I don't want to kill her, but this might give her some freedom. So she set that up. But now Athena honors Medusa by putting her head on her shield. And now she's internalized with Athena, because internalized as Athena's, you know, most faithful servant, most faithful priestess. It kind of reminds you, for the people who are into the biblical stories, it reminds you of the story of Job, right? It's just fucked up. I don't like it. I don't like it. God bless her. Like, Medusa... God, I just hate it. It's just not cool. So I feel like, man, freaking Athena, you know what? You don't deserve Medusa. The world doesn't deserve her. Okay. Oh my God. But yeah, so I'm gonna end this right here. Not in the whole podcast, of course, but this section of the podcast. And then the third one, I'm gonna talk about my interpretation of it, okay? Alright, y'all, so let's go ahead and talk about my interpretation of Medusa, okay? I do want to talk about like themes that I've noticed too, just so we can have like a real conversation about it. And I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And My interpretation of Medusa is how misunderstandings can persecute you. It also represents protection from evil, right? And it also represents stopping and petrifying evil at its tracks. Okay? Now, this is why I think this. I think it represents misunderstandings, how misunderstandings can persecute you is literally, or not even just misunderstandings, like also like how people being jealous of you or feeling some type of way about you can cause you to be persecuted. You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, someone could easily say that Medusa was, Athena was jealous of Medusa, right? At first, she kind of let it go, but why didn't she help her? You know what I mean? Like, why she didn't help her? Why she ignored her? Why did she just stay like a statue when she was praying? Like, what did you not get? Like, were you low-key jealous over some hair, bitch? Like, the fuck? I know. I'm sorry if you guys are like, you know, y'all be praying to Athena, but you can't front. She was dead ass wrong for this shit. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't. All right. So anyways, it's kind of like, you know, you can't help but to think there's some jealousy involved. You know what I mean? So I feel like it definitely represents that. But also just general like misunderstandings, confusion, lies, how it could end up persecuting you. And I actually wrote something. I wrote a tweet about this. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. But I was mentioning basically how we have some real life examples of this. You know what I mean? And let me see. I know I recently did a retweet. Give me a second, babies. Okay, so I was talking to a fellow astrologer and they was asking me about Medusa. And I said, with Medusa, I see her meaning how misunderstandings can persecute you, as well as post-hominous appreciation after dirt was thrown on your name. I kind of want to look at where Medusa is on Michael Jackson's and Johnny Depp's chart. But I see it as appreciation after damage was done. Okay. Now, you know, the Johnny Depp situation, he was accused in the Me Too movement when he literally didn't do anything wrong, right? Like, at all. And it was so interesting, too, because, like, there were some times where I felt like, yeah, this person was probably fucking acting up, right? But there were some situations where, like, not some. Johnny Depp's, I always was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Johnny Depp's, I always was like, I don't know about this one. You know what I mean? Like, it fell off. It fell off. But, you know, you also don't want the victim, if the victim is really a victim, you don't want them to feel like they're being unheard off of a popularity contest. So it's always a tricky situation. I always just wait and just let things play out, you know? And, you know, he actually has Medusa in his 12th house. It's not really conjunct or opposite anything, I believe. Actually, guys, let me see real quick where it is. Hold on one second. Also, this would be a really good time to tell you what number Medusa is, huh? don't even make fun of me, y'all. Like, damn. God. It's like, I mean, how are you even talking about you, Demi? Shut up. But, like, let me go see real quick, y'all. Hold on one second. Bring out the handy dandy, you know, keyboard real quick to find out where Medusa is. I'm sorry for this pause, y'all. Alright. So Medusa's number is 149, okay? Asteroid number 149. Yeah, so Medusa is at 25 degrees. Cancer for him in his 12th house, okay?
Yeah, so it's not conjunct anything. The closest
conjunction is
North Node. I was expecting a more prominent position for it. I'm not going to front. Yeah, I was expecting a more prominent position. He does have Medusa exactly sextile Mercury, as well as sextile Venus. Not exactly, but sextile it. So it kind of shows this issue that he's dealing with, but people eventually learning that he
wasn't doing dirty, and so he gets, love afterwards.
But I remember I just recently saw a interview, like an article about him, and he was like, I still haven't fully recovered from this. It's just so wrong. You know what I mean? It's just so wrong. And it's tricky, man, because it's like, you know, there's people who deserve to be called out, right? But there's always going to be some fucked up person that comes through and accuse people. End up accusing people, and they end up getting the bad end of the stick over someone being mad or jealous or frustrated. You know, it's just really awful. It just sucks, man. I just hate that certain people have to be falsely accused of things. It really just breaks my heart, you know. The next person I mentioned, though, was Michael Jackson. And I know, like, people are up in the air on it, but, you know, I'm not going to say some of the things he did wasn't strange. I'm not going to front like that, because I think it was. But a lot of times where he was accused of harming children, it actually was proven that he didn't, you know? And people don't do the digging to show that he didn't. And I'm glad that documentary that Oprah was a part of, like, she put it down. And it can't be watched anymore, because people pulled out the receipts, his family did, and like the lies that or the facts that weren't lying, the things that they were saying just wasn't lining up at all. And so that's why she put it down, because she saw, like, oh, this is a liability, I'm gonna pull the fuck back, right? And I think that was the responsible thing to do. I think, well, the most responsible thing to do was, like, fact check, maybe, you know, that might have been nice, but it was already out. The best thing for her to do was put it down, and I'm glad she did. But you know, like, there's a lot of, like, every time that he's accused of harming a child, there's, like, substantial evidence showing that he didn't. Again, I wasn't there, I'm not sure, but you can't ignore the facts, you know what I mean? You know, Michael Jackson, I feel like, is a great example of the Medusa story, right? Now, Medusa, like, think about it, too, with Michael. Like, Michael passed. And although, like, he was accused of these things and was proven that it was proven that he didn't harm those children. The thing is, though, it's like he had that pedophile brand on him. Until he died, almost, pretty much, yeah, until he died. And he had to die for people to see that he, you know, like, the facts of it all. And he and it was also too, like, he had to like, it was just when he died, when everyone was showing their appreciation of him again, like, he had to die for it. It sucks, right? And think about it with the Medusa story, right? She had to die for people to appreciate her. So it's really interesting, right? Now this thing came up again, you know, with, like, Wade Robson, whatever, is that choreographer dude, and another person that came up. They were saying that he abused them, and again, the facts came that the documentary was a little, you know, they wasn't doing good fact checking and everything, and they pulled it down. But again, like, it comes up again, and then, like, he had to be fought for again, you know what I mean? It was kind of like, okay, we gotta fight for his innocence again, type of thing. So it's really interesting. Again, like, I wasn't there
for any of this. I'm not sure if he's innocent or not. I mean, the facts are showing that he is, but who knows at the end of this day, you know what I mean? But I'm not gonna front, like, I am leaning towards he didn't do anything, but again, I don't want to, like, cause any harm to the, like, you know, the victims. It's tricky, you know what I mean? The whole situation is tricky. Anywho, with Medusa and Michael, though, Medusa is conjunct Michael's 11th house cusp, right? And think about it. The people that accused him, he considered their friends. I know they were children and he was like a grown-ass man. So, you know, I'm not going to front like that. It's not strange. But, you know, but he considered them their friends and he had to deal with that with his friends, his network, you know, and through his dreams and aspirations, which is, you know, him having the Neverland Ranch, also him through, you know, he was able to obtain all of that through his, you know, musical abilities, you know. It's also, you know, Medusa's trying his son. Medusa is trying his Juno and trying his descendant. So again, connected to his light, his talents with the sun, and with the descendant in Juno energy. I feel like, you know, it's also connected to people with the partnerships that he had with certain folks. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how Medusa's playing out for people who went through certain things. I know with Johnny Depp's, again, it's his Medusa against that 25 degrees Cancer in the 12th house. And so I feel like that, like, he dealt with this before, being falsely accused for something and having to bear the burden. And so he's literally having to learn to nurture himself and love on himself and believe in himself through that pain. Similar to how Medusa had to nurture and home herself in Athena's old temple. You know what I mean? It's really interesting. Some deep shit, y'all. It really is. It's some deep ass shit. I think Michael's 11th house cusp was, he's a Pisces rising, right? It's in Capricorn. I don't have his chart with me right now, but yeah. Anywho, that was interesting. That's how I see the whole, like, how misunderstandings, jealousy, and things like that can persecute you. And this is misunderstandings and jealousy of others, you know? Now, protection from evil, right? So you can say that the protection from evil is like them getting, like, proven, like them having to have the proof that, hey, they didn't do anything. That could be the, you know, like Johnny Depp's and Michael's, you know, protection from evil. But you have to think about it too, like, see, like, Medusa's head is a part of the shield, right? And so it's kind of like, you know, it's protecting people from the evil, because still when people look at Medusa, you know, they turn into stone. So it kind of, you know, gives you that protection of evil type of energy. So yeah. And stopping and petrifying evil at its tracks. So, you know, I see that, you know, definitely being a thing too with that energy. I had another thought and it just left my head, y'all. Okay, so you know how I said it kind of reminds me of the Job story, the faithful servant who almost gets done dirty by their God? You know, it may represent that too. It's like, you know, you praying and praying and praying and hoping that, you know, you get delivered and get some relief, but you don't. And it may be a part of the story, your story in particular. Like, a lot of people may say, like, you know, this makes me not want to believe in shit no more, right? Hold on, let me drink my little sip of coffee real quick. But this may also be like
You know how a lot of people say in spirituality that you sign up for certain things, right? You sign up to have to deal with certain situations, like even with Yeshua dying at the cross and everything. There was one time where even Yeshua was like, mind you, if you don't know, that's Jesus' real name. Yeshua was like, you know, help, like, I need help, like, this is too much, you know, this is too much to bear. And he's kind of like, what, God, why aren't you listening to me? Help, you know, like, it's just so sad. But, you know, the thing is that, like, they agreed to experience that pain and that feeling. That's what, at least what these books are saying. Now, am I saying that's what it is? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know, right? And I know people get really, and I get it, mind you, because I've dealt with a lot of trauma myself. People get really sensitive to hear that, like, what you're saying, I wanted to go through this fucking pain. And I understand that, because again, I've been through trauma too, and I get it. I just don't know, you know, the answer to that. I think there is certain things that we sign up for. I don't know what it is and what constituted. I don't know. What I feel though is that there is certain things that we sign up for, but there's also a free will to certain shit. So, and I feel like certain shit don't gotta be as bad as it is. The pain doesn't gotta be that difficult, right? So someone may have a contract to learn about, like, intimacy in general, but then they go through these, like, horrible traumatic situations to learn through it. And I don't think that's like, yep, that's a lesson you have to learn about trauma through this harsh way. No, I don't think that. I think people that apply their free will, not the victim, but people that's causing the pain and people around that's allowing it, their free will is making it that bad. You know what I mean? When it don't even gotta be. You feel what I'm saying? I feel like that's a lot of times the case. So even with, like, if we're talking about Yeshua and the cross, right? Like, he didn't even have to die like that. Like, it didn't have to be that ridiculous, that awful. I don't think it. But it's just that the free will of the people around at the time that allowed that to happen made it happen that way. You know? But we have to continue the mission. But it's just like, oh, it's just awful. That's my little two cents to it. I don't think, like, oh, we ask for, like, trauma and pain. No, I don't think that at all. I think our free will and us, like, the collective generally being so low vibrational. I'm gonna be honest about that, right? As a collective, humans are low vibrational. All right. I think it allows situations like this to happen where, like, people go through these immense situations of trauma. Maybe we don't have to be that way, you know? But that's just my thought. I could be dead ass wrong. Who knows? But yeah, like, it definitely shows the faithful servant for sure. It definitely shows the faithful servant. Yeah, that's what I feel about. I feel that it also shows you, like, harming people or a person that you love by accident while they're trying to help you. It kind of give me centaur vibes, right? You know, the centaurs deal with that, you know, trying to help and almost and getting hurt in the process. It gives me that type of vibe because, you know, with her BFF, he tried to help her and she turned him into stone by accident. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, is someone that you're close with trying to help and they're getting harmed in the process. I know that there were a couple of people that stood up for, like, Johnny Depp and Michael Jackson, and people, like, bashed the fuck out of them. You know what I mean? Like, bashed the fuck out of them. So it was kind of like, it kind of gives me that type of vibe too. What else, y'all? I'm trying to think of more things. I think it also is connected to how pain can turn you, quote unquote, ugly.
And what I mean by that, I mean, like, you know, like dealing with certain traumas can affect your physical appearance, you know? I could definitely see that. I don't think ugly. I think that I should, let me rewind that. I'm going to try to put the rewind sound on there. I won't say ugly. How trauma, certain traumas can affect your appearance and, you know, your physicality and all that. I definitely see that too, because again, after Medusa went through all that pain, you know, they, you know, Athena done did her dirty, child, done did her dirty. And what did she do? She hid from the rest of the world so she wouldn't harm them. And that's what Michael Jackson and Johnny Depp did too. They just hid. I think it represents that too, hiding from the world. Because it's like, I just can't right now. You know? So interesting. But that's what I have so far. I'm just going to leave it off like that. But overall, you know, all these little bits of stories, you know what I mean? It definitely says a lot to, you know, the theme of Medusa. But overall, I think Medusa represents how misunderstandings and jealousies can of others can persecute you. You know, I think that's the overall thing there. So I'm going to end this section and then I'm going to conclude this story, this myth, my interpretation.